Amen. Hallelujah. We serve an awesome God. We serve a God who is alive. We serve a God who is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and the Master of everything. Amen? Amen. And I'm going to start this morning just starting out giving acknowledgement to the fact that God is still sovereign, that God is still on the throne. Because we look around the world and we see all the things that are going on, and we can have the tendency to become fearful, discouraged. And I thought about the storm that is Ida, that is coming into the Gulf there, lined up with Louisiana or New Orleans, whatever it might be. And I thought about the time that Jesus was out on the boat and the waves were thrashing the boat around and he was sleeping, and the disciples said, "Don't you care that we are going to drown?" And Jesus stood up and he said, "Be still." Is there any tornado? Is there any hurricane? Is there any wind that Jesus cannot stand up and say, "Be still"? Hallelujah. There isn't. There is no wind. There is no tornado or anything, any wind, any natural disaster, if you will, that God can't stand up and say, "Stop." Boy, that makes me feel good. It makes me feel good to know that you know, for those people there in Tennessee that experienced flooding this week, to know that God is still in control of the water. He's in control of the wind. You know, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into the fiery furnace and they faced the flames, that we would say, "There's no way. There's no way under the sun that could happen." But it did. They went into the furnace. They came out untouched. Daniel went into the lion's den, and God shut the mouths of the lions that they didn't tear him up. Is God still sovereign? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God is still sovereign. There was the woman that had an issue of blood for many years that came up behind Jesus and touched his garment, and she was healed. Is there any virus that God cannot say, "Stop," and it will stop? There isn't. There's no virus that can do that, that can go beyond what God has allowed. So this morning, as we look at, as we get into Scripture, and I echo with Andrew the feeling, and with Ray, the things we've seen and experienced with, not experienced, but what we've heard of what is going on in Afghanistan and around the world, different places. Lloyd shared, there's things that are happening that we have no idea how to connect to. But I believe this morning that God's call is to us as a church, that in the day that we live in the time that we are living in the things that we are experiencing here in America, we need the wisdom of God to know how to live, how to move forward. And that's what I believe God's prayer is, or God's heart for the church, is that we would lean on Him, that we would learn to have wisdom from Him and not from this world. You see, when you sum up the hurricanes, when you sum up the virus, when you sum up the killings, when you sum up all these things, if you absorb them into your heart, you will become fearful. So we need the wisdom of God. And I believe that without a doubt in my mind that one of the things the enemy wants to do is to divide and destroy, divide and conquer. So we need to know how to navigate. We need to know how to go forward. And I will be honest with you this morning, as I looked at this message, as I looked at the Scriptures and what the Scriptures speak of wisdom and how to have the wisdom of God and what the wisdom of God is and what it looks like, I said, "Lord, refine us. Refine us." Because anybody knows that the most strategic maneuvers of an enemy against their enemy is to divide and conquer. Get them separated. Separate them from the source. In other words, the cities, when they build a siege against a city, they isolated them from the outside world where they could not receive any kind of help from anyone else. They were isolated. So the enemy's desire this morning is to divide and conquer. Is to isolate. He wants us to start focusing on what is not good, what is not right, what is not true. And it is in that we isolate ourselves from Almighty God, who wants to give us wisdom to know how to maneuver in these times. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I don't have all the answers, but I know one that does. And I want to draw our attention to him this morning. Any coming out, I wrote this down and I forgot to write the author who wrote it. I should have. My mistake. I'm going to share it. Any combat training and tactical planning begins with a process of intelligence, collection, analysis, and dissemination. Reconnaissance is a military term used to determine the enemy's forces, disposition, and intention, and gathering information or intelligence about the enemy's composition and capabilities. Dr. Peter Kraft wrote, "You cannot win a war if you are unwilling to admit we're even at war, or you don't know who your enemy is, or you don't know what strategy your enemy is using." And I'm here to tell you this morning that one of the strategies that I believe that Satan is using against his children is division. And I know that I shared before, I talked about, but here we are again. We are at this place where I want to be careful how I use that term loosely, but this is where I struggled with sharing this message, is that I know that we all have our ideas, okay? But I want us to lay aside just for a moment to recognize that the enemy is using the things that are being presented to us to divide. And I raise a caution again this morning that we would be aware, that we recognize what the enemy is doing is division. His very name, the name demon comes from Dio, which means division, divided. And so what we experience and what we find is that we find ourselves at different places on subjects, but let's not allow that to divide the children of God. Amen. Let's become stronger as we stand together. And that doesn't mean that we all agree with each other. I am not promoting this morning that we are all going to come to the same place in agreement with each other. But there is one thing that we have in common. We are the children of God. You know, I hear a lot of this here of our rights being taken. I evaluate that. Yes, from a humanistic standpoint, there are human rights that are being taken. But when we look at ourselves as children of the King, from the kingdom of God, part of the kingdom of God, there is none of our rights that have been taken. You still have the right to be called a child of God. You still have the right to be the part of the kingdom of God. That is not taken from you. You still have the right to speak to others about the kingdom of God, even if that means your death. That cannot be taken from you. You still have rights within the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. And as I sat, and as I was reading in 2 Chronicles, where God came to Solomon, and I thought about this whole thing, you know, what we need more than anything right now, what we need more than anything is wisdom. We need wisdom to know how to navigate through these times. And I thought about Solomon. I thought about how God came to Solomon and said, "Solomon, what can I give you?" Boy, wouldn't that be a great thing to have the God of the universe, the God of all creation, of everything, come to you and say, "Luke, what can I give you?" You know, I think we'd all be tempted to, well, health or wealth or, you know, all those kinds of things, that here's an opportunity. Solomon chose wisdom. And I believe this morning that as we look at the life of how that unfolded, and how that directly after that, Solomon was called to judge the situation where the two women had babies and the one woman's baby died, and they came before Solomon, and Solomon was asked to judge this situation, and the woman that they, finally Solomon in his wisdom told him to bring him a sword, they'll divide the baby. Sounds simple, right? Just divide him, divide the baby. That means whack it in half. That's what it means, divide. And so the woman whose son it truly was said, "Please don't do that, just give it to the other lady. Give the child to the other lady." And there was wisdom beyond what was imagined. And the people saw it and they heard, And they were astonished and they were amazed at the wisdom that God had given Solomon. And I pray this morning, you know, we often refer to it as the wisdom of Solomon. Do you know it wasn't Solomon's wisdom? It was given to him by God. It was the wisdom of God that Solomon was experiencing. And that's what I believe that God wants for each and every one of us this morning, is for us to experience His wisdom. His wisdom. Not the wisdom of kings, not the wisdom of this world. Not knowledge, but wisdom. Wisdom. To know what to do with the knowledge that we have. Psalms 111:10 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." That's where it starts. It starts with that. So here we are. Once again, we're faced with the reality of the effects that COVID has had in our life and how it has upset things. And now the question that we're all faced with, every one of us is faced with, do I get vaccinated or do I not? And there is as many opinions as there is people in this room today, and I know that. But as I thought about this thing, and I believe that each person needs to make that decision. And I know that, you know, I can read sources, I can read things that speak to the good about getting the vaccine. I can read all kinds of things anywhere, internet, Facebook, whatever you might. I can read all kinds of things that say why I shouldn't get a vaccine. And one of the things that I believe without a doubt is that Satan is causing such confusion that it's almost impossible to find what is truth anymore. You see what I'm saying? So each of us are left with making this decision about what do I do? How do I respond? And the decision is difficult enough without someone telling you that you're immoral, whether you do or whether you don't. So my caution to the church, don't let it divide. Don't let it divide. We need wisdom. We need wisdom. I can't tell you what to do. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. I can't tell you what to do. But one thing I know for sure, the Bible says if you lack wisdom, ask and God will give it to you. Probably the best thing that I've heard so far in this whole thing is someone said to me, "Luke, whatever you choose to do, do it in faith, not fear." Whatever you choose to do it in faith, not fear. See, if I choose to get vaccinated out of fear, I'm lacking faith. If I choose not to get vaccinated out of fear, I'm lacking faith. Does that make sense? I thought those were the most precious words that I heard over this whole subject yet today, is whatever you do it in faith. Don't let it divide. Don't let it divide. And I'm just going to read John chapter 17, just some scripture where Jesus was begging God to maintain the unity among the believers. John 17:20, it says this, "I do not pray for those alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, and that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory which you have gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." Hallelujah. That's our Savior praying for our well-being as we fellowship together, as we are one with each other. Lighten up a little bit. In the Peanuts cartoon, Lucy demanded that Linus change the TV channel, threatening him with her fist. If he didn't, Linus asked, "What makes you think you can walk right in here and take over?" Lucy replies, "These five fingers, individually, They're nothing, but when I curl them together like this into a single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold. Linus asks, which channel do you want? Turning away, he looks at his fingers and says, why can't you guys get organized like that? Together we stand, divided we fall. Together we stand, divided we fall. Together, united, with one goal, one purpose, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ living out on this earth where God has placed us in the time that He has given us. And I say to you, I've had numerous parents. Just this week again, I had a parent come to me and say, Luke, I'm afraid for my children. And one of the things that I heard or saw or picked up somewhere along the line was to remember that your children and you were created for such a time as this. Okay? Quoting the words of what in the book of Esther, that Esther was prepared for such a time as this. So are your children prepared and born in this time for such a time as this. Hold on to that courage. Hold on to that faith. Hold on to that belief that God didn't miss it. He didn't make a mistake, that we were born in this time, in this place, and that we are together here today at Hinkletown, at New Covenant. It's not a mistake that God made. He has a plan. He has a purpose. He has orchestrated your life. He has orchestrated mine, and He will continue to do that. Hold on. Hold on to that. And we need the fellowship of each other. We need the fellowship of the body of believers as we fellowship together. Let's not be divided. Let's not be divided. Let's be careful. Let's be careful in how we react and interact as it relates to this whole, what do I do? And just on another more sober note again, Proverbs 6:16-19 says, these six things the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises a wicked plan, feet that are swift to running to evil, and a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Shall I say that last sentence again? And one who sows discord among brethren. God hates. Let's remember that as we interact with each other. Psalms 55:12, David bears his heart here. He says, For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man, my equal, my companion, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked in the house of God in the throng. If it were a stranger, I could deal with that. When it's a brother or sister, let's be careful how we interact. 1 Corinthians 1, you can turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we have Paul gives an instruction here, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but there's something I want you to notice that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, he says, now I plead with you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you, saying, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? He asked the question, is Christ divided? No. The answer is no, Christ is not divided. And what caught my attention was that he goes on in verse 20, he says, where is the wise? Or in verse 19, he says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. He immediately following, right on the heels of, and in context with this here divisiveness that was happening, or this division that was happening with the Corinthian people, right on the heels of it, he goes into wisdom. He goes into talking about wisdom. So that's the point that I want to make this morning, is that I believe that unity and wisdom are something that come hand in hand. And you can turn with me to James chapter 5, James chapter 3, because I'm going to have to jump along here. But James chapter 3. And I'm going to start at verse 13 because I want to wind up with 17 and 18. It says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and strife-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." Verse 17, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, and without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who stand their ground," get on their soapbox, they're sowing peace? No. "By those is sown in peace by those who make peace." We kept Sheldon and Chris's dog, Bailey, for a week when they were on vacation. 4 days or whatever it was. But this was very troubling to Louis, that there was a dog in the house. And Louis will go out. He'll go out in the morning. He comes back in the morning. We feed him. He lays around and sleeps all day. And he goes out at night. Okay, so over these days that Bailey was in the house, Louis did not leave the property. He sat outside the door, and every time the door would come open, he would slip in. So he wanted to be in the same room that Bailey was in, but there was this conflict. There was this conflict that the two of them couldn't get over. And one time I observed, as Bailey was laying under the table with her feet out in front of her, Louis snuck over and licked her paw a little bit. Okay, well, we're making some progress. But not too much time later, Bailey approached Louis. Okay, you don't approach Louis, I found out. This was a hissing and spitting and carrying on. They wanted to be in the same room, but they found it difficult because of their differences. The one was a dog, the other one was a cat. They are naturally don't function well together. They had to learn. They had to learn because there was some divine intervention, I guess you would call it, that caused Louis to understand that it was not okay to scratch, bite, and spit when the dog was simply wanting to have some interaction. We need the wisdom of God because we all are different. We're all different. We're all different, and sometimes those differences, we have to be careful that those differences don't turn into biting and scratching. And because when we get along with each other, there was peace in the house when Bailey and Louis were able to get along with each other. There was peace in the house. Do you want peace in the house? Do you want peace in the house of God this morning? I'm not saying there's not. I'm not even going to comment because I know that we are all different. I know that I am different. I know that I have opinions and I know that you have opinions. If you ask me, I will share my opinion with you. I will try to be gracious. I will try to be kind in sharing my opinion. But ask me if you wish. So here in this here scripture, in James chapter 17, there was another one I was going to read here in James. I lost it anyway. Starting with verse 17 of James chapter 3, it says this, But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceable, gentle. And it gives seven things here that I'd just like to quickly take a quick look at as we consider. Somebody made a comment, and I don't know where it came from, but life is hard, but it's harder when you're stupid. And I would like to change that comment to say that life is hard, but it's harder when there's no wisdom. When we are not connected with God. When we are not connected with God, it's harder. Life is hard, but it's easier when you have God's wisdom. Life is hard, but it's easier when you have God's wisdom. And remember, He gives it liberally. That's the verse I was looking for and missing. Oh, here it is. James 1:5. I did write it down. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all just a little bit. Liberally. And without reproach. He doesn't reproach you for asking. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. So my question is this morning, if I'm not finding wisdom to know how to move forward, if I'm not finding wisdom, then am I connecting with God? Is it possible that I have been reading too many websites, I've been listening to too much news media, that I have been listening to too many negative people to really hear from God? That's the question that begs to be asked this morning. Do I really experience, am I really willing and wanting to experience the wisdom of God? Because the knowledge that you get from listening and hearing everything needs to be polished by the wisdom of God. There's probably a better word, but that's what came for the moment. I love that phrase. Ask our generous God. Ask our generous God. He's the one that has answers. He's the one with wisdom for you. Remember that knowledge and wisdom are not the same. And I was going to get into that more in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But I'm not going to take the time to go there because I do want to focus on this here. What the wisdom that is from above looks like. Anyone can gain knowledge. You can read all the books. You can read the Bible from cover to cover. You can memorize the Bible from cover to cover. But without wisdom, it is nothing. Without the wisdom of God, without the interpretation of God's Spirit, it's nothing. There are good principles to live by, but without the wisdom of God, it lacks power. It doesn't have the energy that is needed for the time that we're living in. First of all, it is pure. What does it mean that it is pure? Well, all of us know that when something is pure, it's pure. It is pure milk, it is pure gas, it is pure whatever it is, gasoline. So it is pure. It's pure. It's nothing, it's not something else mixed with it. It's pure. Now I think about some years ago, my deck started to turn green and grimy, and it was growing stuff on it. And so I rented a pressure washer, and I began to wash the deck. And to my amazement, there was nice clean boards under all that stuff. You see, once in a while, we need the Holy Spirit to come in and to purify our hearts and our thinking. And that is defined as wisdom from above. Wisdom from above is first pure. It's pure. And in Matthew 5:8, it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will" what? They will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. If we're not seeing God, then is there a problem that my heart's not pure? Is my heart pure before God? Because there is no other way that anything else that is written after this matters if our hearts are not pure and we are not able to see God. The time that we live in, we need to see God. Sometimes we need to get rid of the layers of bitterness, frustration, doubt, fear, whatever it might be. We need to take the pressure washer of the Holy Spirit to those things and clean it up a bit. Because inside I know that there is a good, pure person. If you are born again, washed in the blood by the Lamb of God, inside, there is a good, pure person. Do we have the grace? Do we have the grace for each other when those impurities start to build up? And how do we... See, the purity of God puts you out of step with the world. The purity, the wisdom, the purity that comes through the wisdom of God puts you out of step with the world. Then it goes on and says, but the wisdom that is from above, first of all, note that it is from above. It's first pure, and then it's peaceable. Have you been experiencing peaceable wisdom? Have you been experiencing in the last couple of weeks, in the last couple of months, in the last year, have you been experiencing peaceable wisdom? It's offered to us. It's offered to us. And if we lack it, we're supposed to ask. What's our attitude in the times of conflict? When wisdom from above fills your life, then you will be an agent of healing. Peaceable. Peaceable. We all know when we have met a peaceable person. When a peaceable, peaceful person walks into a room, peace comes with them. Peace comes with them. They're not a tornado wrecking everything that's in the front of them. When a peaceable person comes in, you know it, because they're at peace with themselves, they're at peace with God. First of all, they're at peace with God and they're at peace with themselves. So a peaceable person is a sign of wisdom. It's a sign of a person that is connected to a peace-loving person brings peace. Because he is at peace with God. Proverbs 14:30 says, a heart at peace gives life to the body. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. We must turn away from violence, bitterness, hatred, animosity, envy, fear, anger. It goes on and says it is gentle. It says that this here wisdom that comes from above is considered. It's gentle. It's a gentle thing. If you have to shout, you lose. Are you with me? If it's gentle, if you have to shout, you've already lost. How do you respond under pressure? If you have to threaten, you lose. If you have to threaten, you lose. It's gentle. It's gentle. When the traffic gets backed up, or someone cuts you off, or somebody cuts in line, or someone starts yelling at you, what is your response? Is there a gentle response, or is there runaways? I'm going to get them back. They bring a knife, I'll bring a gun. They kill one, I'll kill two. Gentle, gentle. Psalms 103:10 says this, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Our God is gentle. Our God is gentle with us. We need to have this gentleness for each other. We need to have this gentle. It goes on and says that it is persuadable or willing to yield to the words that are used here in the New King James. It says, willing to yield. Willing to yield. And this is something where I know that it's in our flesh. It's difficult for us to yield. Willing to yield. Are you willing to listen to the other person? Are you willing to hear them? It doesn't say that you have to change who you are, what your belief is, but are you willing to yield? Are you willing to say, I'll hear you out? And if there's something that I can learn from you, then I will learn from you. If not, it doesn't mean that you're weak-kneed and have no spine, or that you're not any kind of person that has any kind of your own opinions. Willing to yield. Willing to yield. Are you willing to yield? A persuadable person holds deep convictions without feeling need to parade them or to constantly argue about them. Let me read this, another quote. This quality may be easier to see if we flip it around. Earthly wisdom is arrogant and stubborn. It refuses to listen and has no desire to hear anyone else's opinion. A man like this dominates every discussion, uses sarcasm to put others down, and demands to be the center of attention in every room he enters. He attacks anyone who attacks him because he masks a fragile ego. He is masking a fragile ego. With his terrible temper and his threats, he is the master of put down, the king of clever one-liners. That's the opposite of willing to yield. That's the opposite of willing to yield. Can you disagree agreeably? Absolutely. Absolutely. We can disagree agreeably. We can do that. And again, I call the church this morning to be on guard because the enemy wants to, what? Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. So I think more than ever, even our simple meeting in the hallway, our conversations, that we have to remember that Satan is trying to divide and conquer. Can we just disagree agreeably? Can you discuss your deep convictions without losing your temper? Can you discuss your deep convictions without losing your temper? Can you listen kindly to someone who holds another position? Can you listen kindly to them? My friends, we are in desperate need of wisdom. And it goes on in the fifth one, it says, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits. Full of mercy and good fruits. And I want to call us again to this morning that you cannot have mercy and not have good fruits. Mercy, good fruits exemplifies mercy. So mercy and good fruits. If you see someone in need, or if you see someone who is troubled and you have mercy on them, you feel for them, and that's all you do. You talk about it, but you never really reach out to help them. Maybe you see someone who is fearful. Maybe you see someone who has embraced lies about this whole thing that's going on, which I don't know what even how to put a name to it. Maybe they just need a word of encouragement. They don't need to be told how stupid they are for believing what they believe. Maybe they just need to be told, come on, you're okay. God is with you. God will give you wisdom. God will take you through this. God will lead you to the end. He won't give up. Are we full of mercy and kindness, goodness? Are we full of mercy and good fruit? Think back across the last 12 months. How has God treated you? Has God blessed you? Then bless others. Has God forgiven you? Then forgive others. Has God lifted you up when you were down? Then lift others up when they're down. Has God overlooked your faults? Then try overlooking some of the faults of others. It goes on and says that is willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, and without partiality. Without partiality. Wisdom from God is without partiality. You will treat someone the same, whether it's in your house or at the grocery store or whatever it be. It's not giving partiality to someone. Wisdom from God is treating someone, because they are a human being, because they are a child of God, even if they don't agree with you, because they are a child of God, they are to be treated as a human being. There is no one, no matter what they have done, that deserves to be treated less than a human being, at the very least. Do you have to agree with them? No. But be impartial. Always telling the truth. Always shooting the same. Okay, so here's a group of people I'm with, and they believe one thing, and I'm there, and I'm, yeah, that's right, and, I agree with you, and over here's another group of people, and they're saying something totally opposite of what that person said, and you're standing here saying, yeah, I agree with you, and has no value. You ever watch a baseball, and there's some umpires that maybe they'll give the one pitcher a little, like 2 inches outside the strike zone, or above or below or whatever it is. Depending who the batter is, they might give him a little more room. That's not a problem if they're consistent, if they do that for everyone. But when a manager starts to get involved is when he realizes that this is my pitcher that he's doing this to, or this is a particular batter that is always given, you know, maybe inside, whatever it might be, impartial. Now let's move on quickly. It says, without partiality and without hypocrisy, we are sincere. To be without hypocrisy means that what you see is what you get. You're not two-faced. Without hypocrisy. Without hypocrisy. The wisdom of God is without hypocrisy. Not a hypocrite. Not doing one thing one time, another thing another time. And then we go on to verse 18. It says, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So the fruit of righteousness is sown how? Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. We actually sow righteousness when we endeavor to make peace. We are sowing seeds of righteousness. We are sowing seeds that will grow. And I ask you this morning, are you sowing seeds of righteousness with your children? Those of you mothers and fathers who are here this morning who are raising children, you are able to sow seeds of righteousness by peace. And do you have the wisdom of God to be able to do that? If we hope to do anything useful in this world today, we need the wisdom of God. Let me say that again. If we hope to do anything useful today in this world, we need the wisdom of God. And that wisdom doesn't come from kings. That wisdom doesn't come from books. That wisdom doesn't come from the internet. If I've heard it once, okay, I'll be nice, I'll be gentle. The internet is not a reliable source of research. It might be helpful, but you still need to know where you're getting your sources from. You need to know where they're coming from. What was the reason the person wrote it? What is the motive? What is behind it? There's a book that is written that I assure you that every time you go to this book, you will not be misled. There's a book that is written by Almighty God for you and I to live in this day, and what we need to live in this day is right here. It's right here. If you want to research, research this. You will not have wisdom without the Word of God. You will not have wisdom without God's Word implanted into your heart to know how to react, to know how to respond. You need the Word of God to do that. So I pray, my prayer is that for our church, for here today, that we will be able to come in touch with the wisdom of God that is from above, not the wisdom of man, but the wisdom of God that is from above. Lord, make me hungry for a pure heart. Lord, help me to be a peacemaker, not a peace breaker. Lord, give me the grace to reply gently when I feel like blowing my top. Lord, deliver me from feeling like I always need to defend myself. Lord, open my eyes to see the hurting people who need my help. Lord, set me free from partiality and favoritism. Lord, make me a person whose life is an open book. Lord, use me to plant seeds that will reap a great harvest for you. May the Lord give us heavenly wisdom, because we can't live without it. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for the hope that we can have, the rock that we can lean on. I pray, Lord, you would continue to guide our hearts and our thoughts and our minds, Lord, that we would stay fixed on you. And you would be the one that would receive the honor and the glory. God, going forward into this time, I pray that we would be able to honor each other, that the enemy's attempts to kill, steal, and destroy, and to divide and conquer, Lord, would come to nothing. Because we as a family of believers are willing to yield ourselves to you and to you alone. Father, I pray for peace. I pray for your presence in every decision that we are faced to make. In Jesus' name, amen.